And he spent the whole day with us. Night time, again, after everyone left, I see him coming into the masjid, tahajjud, up to the time of Fajr. Before the adhan of Fajr, he leaves, he goes home. And then he comes back after the adhan, just like any other person, so no one knows he was in the masjid before that. Subhanallah. He said, I watched him for the third day. And it was the same thing the third day. So I had no choice but to go and knock at his door when he was not home. Someone came out. I asked the person that this is the house of Imam Abu Hanifa. Yes. Just tell me one thing. When does he sleep? Tell me, when does he sleep? When does he go to sleep? They said, do you see him leaving just before the adhan of Zuhr? Yes. He comes and he gets a little nap at that time. That's all he sleeps. That's the only time that he sleeps. And as the fuqaha, as the scholars around him who watched him very closely have narrated that for 40 years this was his daily schedule. For 40 years this was his daily schedule. He spends the whole day with the people and he spends the night in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only time he would have some rest was just before Salatul Zuhr. Barakah in the time. Barakah in the sleep. In the short period of sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of barakah for him. Just like a person from Makkah Mukarramah whose name was Salim bin Salim. He's from the progeny of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says that when Abu Hanifa rahimahullah came to Makkah Mukarramah, he stationed at my home. Throughout the time he was in Makkah Mukarramah, not a single day I saw him sleeping. I watched him very closely day and night. I have never seen him sleeping except a little nap before Salatul Zuhr. And the rest of the time when I would go, he said, there were only two people that I have seen of that caliber and of that category. One was Imam Abu Hanifa, the second Sufyan al-Thawri. Whenever I go to the masjid, either they are doing tawaf or they will be performing salah. One of the two things. I have never seen these people out of these two ibadahs. Imam Abu Hanifa and Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. This is the ibadah of these people. That's something that we think that this person who's busy with all of this, he may not have time. But remember, that was the barakah. All of the barakah in their time was through that ibadah. All of that understanding was through that ibadah. It's not just sitting with books and then giving talks and just giving fatawa and just being out there. No, ibadah of the night time that they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he set a rule in his gathering that when people were not able to understand a ruling and come up and find the solution for it in the light of Quran and Hadith, he would say, it might be because of some of my sin. Right away he would do istighfar and sometime he will get up and perform 2 rak'ah salah. And then he would come back and sit with people and ask them to restate the situation and start thinking, reconsider that situation, and they would find the solution for it. When Fudayl bin Iyaz rahimahullah, he knew about this, he started crying and he said, this is a man who had no sin. So whenever he would sin, he would feel it and right away he would get it washed. And we have so many that we don't even feel it after committing it. This is the barakah of the ibadah. This is something that we really need to learn from the life of these scholars of Islam. All of them, something very common in the life of all of these scholars of Islam, regardless of which field they worked in. Ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending the time before Allah. Getting up during the night time. Sacrificing their rest and praying to Allah. Reciting Quran. Performing Salat al-Tahajjud. Begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making dua. And istighfar. Seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness that will keep their hearts and their records clean so that they have the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this ilm, because of this taqwa, because of this understanding, rulers wanted Imam Abu Hanifa to be on their side. And therefore, they were offering him to become the judge. Ibn Hubayrah was one of the very well-known rulers. And he asked Imam Abu Hanifa to become the judge. Imam Abu Hanifa said, no, I cannot accept it. He forced him. Imam Abu Hanifa rejected it. He put him in prison. And they used to beat him 10 lashes every day. Finally, when he was afraid, if we continue doing this to him, he may die someday with this punishment, he let him go. After him, it was the time when Abu Ja'far al-Mansur became the king. He called Imam Abu Hanifa. And he called Mus'ar bin Kidam that we just talked about, who have seen Imam Abu Hanifa's life on daily schedule. He called both of these and he called Sufyan al-Thawri. And Ibn Shubrama. He called all of these people to make them judges because they were considered to be some of the most knowledgeable people of the time. So he wanted them to be on his side. As far as Sufyan al-Thawri, as soon as he heard about it, he ran to Makkah and he went and hid somewhere that no one could find him until Abu Ja'far al-Mansur died. Mus'ar ibn Kidam, he played a game. He went and he pretended that he doesn't know what's going on, just like an insane person. So he goes to the king, he says, oh, I like your clothes. They're so nice. How many animals do you have? How many animals are out there? How many horses do you have? So he said, I heard so many things about him, but look, he's worried about my clothes, my dress, my horses. He says to him, okay, I'm sorry, you can go back. It came to Shubrama. Shubrama said that I really don't fit that position. He said to him, I'm not asking you. I'm just telling you that you have to accept it. So he tried different things, nothing worked, and he was forced to take it. The fourth one, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, his turn. He says, I'm not suitable for it. He said, no, you are. He said, then how can you make me a judge? You're telling me that I'm lying. You know his way now. I'm saying I'm not suitable. You're telling me, no, I'm suitable, which means I'm lying to you. So if I'm lying, then I cannot be a judge. And if you accept what I'm saying, then I cannot be a judge. He says, there is no way you're getting out of it. You have to take it. He says, I won't take it. He says, I swear by God, you will be taking it. Now Hanifa says, I swear by God, I won't take it. SubhanAllah, it's a big challenge now to the king. People around the king, they started telling him that, look, king is taking oath. You should fulfill his oath. This is the king, this is the ruler. He says, if he has taken oath, I have taken oath also. And he can pay the ransom for his oath more easily than I can. So let him pay for it. I'm not going to pay for it. He put him in the prison. And they started torturing him. This is the imam of his time. This is the person about whom Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the understanding of the deen, that I have never seen any person having that understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the person about whom Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, used to say that if Allah had not helped me through him, I would have been doing bid'ah in my life and I have been going away from the deen. This is the person that was known about him, that who fasted for 30 years in his life. Continuously 30 years of his life, he spent his 30 years of the life fasting. And now he's being tortured. Why? To take the position of being the king, of being the judge. And then the king thought, maybe better offer him a higher position. And he came up with a solution with another position called Qadil Qudha, which means he will be the main judge and the one who will be ruling all the judges. And then he said to him, you don't have to sit in a courtroom. You just have to watch over all the judges. He said, this is even more difficult. I'm responsible for all the judgments that are going on throughout the country. I cannot be even responsible for my own. I'm not willing to take that responsibility for myself. You want to take it for all the judges? I cannot do that. And they started punishing him, torturing him. Tortured him so much that he was almost like a dead person. And finally, when they saw his situation, they knew that he may die any time now because of that torturing, because of those things that he had gone through on their hands. So they did not even take that situation, and finally they poisoned him in the prison. Poisoned him and let him go home. He came home, subhanAllah, was so sick that people had to lift him up. But he said, still take me to the masjid. I heard Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I have to go and perform the salah. He went into the masjid. He was in the sujood with the imam. And he took his last breath and passed away. That was the year 150. The same year, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah passed away in the year 150. And this is how he became shaheed on the hands of the rulers of that time. But there is so much for us to learn from the life of these people. And from the life of many other scholars of Islam who devoted their lives for the deen of Allah and did not accept to do a single wrong thing. As Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, that he was offered positions that others were willing and begging for it. Not only that they were willing, they were begging for those positions, and he was tortured to take it, and he refused to take it. He was offered all the wealth. He was offered a position that was just next to the king. It was just next to the king. And he said no. And what type of khilafah? It was a khilafah that was considered the largest khilafah on the surface of the earth at that time. He refused to be part of it because of the injustice that was taking place. Because of the wrongdoings that were there. He said, I cannot be part of it. And he refused it. He gave his life for it. How many lessons are there for us to learn from these scholars of Islam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to learn our lessons from them and give them rahmah and bless them for whatever they have done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for whatever benefit we take from their knowledge and however we are able to understand our deen because of their efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them for all of that. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ